The 3HL with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
Jello 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, Will Boley sitting in for Don Davenport. A lot going on this week. Kind of been a reaction to the week kind of day today on 3HL. Phone lines are open. Several topics for you. If you want to get into Dean Pease going to Atlanta, does that look bad for the Titans? Do you have an issue with that? We certainly can talk about it. 615-737-1045. Also, it's time for the NFL Final Four. Who do you want in the Super Bowl? Who do you think gets in the Super Bowl? Tampa Bay at Green Bay, Buffalo at Kansas City. 60% chance of snow in Green Bay. High of 29 degrees as Will Bowling shakes his fist in approval of that message. We'd love to hear from you there, too. 615-737-1045. The big story this week, though, Will, has been the University of Tennessee. It all started Monday with a press conference where a football coach and two assistants were fired for cause. Seven staffers fired. An AD, who's a legend at the school, steps away, and a search for a new AD begins. That was on Monday. On Wednesday, transfer portal news with several players, four starters going into the transfer portal. That will carry – I told you that would – there would be more names in that transfer portal. It's open wide for Tennessee players right now. And another one has jumped in. Vol defensive back Keyshawn Lawrence, top-ranked player in Tennessee's top 10 2020 recruiting class, has entered the NCAA transfer portal from Nashville. So there's another one for you there. So Danny White, introductory presser today. We've kind of gone through that. The coaching search currently underway. Which coach do you want? We've gone back and forth debating whether Lane Kiffin would be a good idea. I'm pro. Will is con. 615-737-1045. Of course, hit us on Twitter at 3HL1045. You've got news from the VolQuest guys, though, about a couple of guys. I kind of hinted on this a little earlier that maybe a couple of the guys that have entered the portal may come back. What is Austin Price saying?
Yeah, nothing confirmed yet, but leaning the direction of Henry Toto and Wandia Morris could come back to Tennessee. That was the inclination Austin Price gave in VolQuest earlier today. Still, I think that's a really fluid situation, so I have trouble trying to get inside the mind of a, 19, 20-year-old and trying to figure out the decision process that they're going through right now. But that was my initial reaction when there was a mass exodus on Wednesday afternoon, was that this is simply giving yourself the opportunity to look at what's out there a little bit. It is like a player hitting free agency in the NFL. Doesn't mean they're necessarily gone. It means that they want to have the freedom to talk with other people to figure out what else is out there. That's why I think Tennessee's next hire is so important, because yes, in the short term, you're not going to hire a coach who's just going to recruit these guys to stay in the short term, because this roster went 3-7 for a reason. And you don't have to have a lot of these guys come back in order to it's not going to make your decision for you on who you're going to hire. But that being said, with the one-time transfer rule coming sooner rather than later for the NCAA, you're always going to have to recruit your own roster. That is something that recruiting people will tell you frequently now, is that you have to recruit your own players once they're on campus as much as you do when you're trying to get them on campus. And if a coach does not fit that criteria now at a pivotal point for Tennessee to try to keep this roster somewhat together, then odds are they're probably not going to long-term either. So that to me is a guy who's going to motivate these guys and recruit these guys back to school and out of the transfer portal is important in the short term. It's also important in the long term, because recruiting your own players is a new phenomenon in college football that's only going to get bigger as time goes on.
No question. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045. Again, new AD Danny White meeting with members of the team, leadership group of the team, kind of talking through what they need, what they want, as he looks to find a new football coach. Daryl Middleton said, we believe this is for the better. This guy is a player's coach, not an AD. He flew in 5 hours ago and put on an impression that will have everyone interested in seeing what he brings to the table. Vol Nation, let's welcome, in all caps. He then tweeted, we back, with an exclamation point and an orange emoji.
And also he retweeted someone who said, if To'o To'o and Wanya Morris come back, that would be huge. And Daryl Middleton, after this tweet, retweeted that as well. Again, so, I don't want to get too much into the weeds on what 20-year-olds are tweeting or maybe thinking or maybe not thinking on a message board, but it's a noteworthy discussion to have. It's something that could be a positive development for Tennessee, and Tennessee that hasn't had many of those in the past year.
So Daryl Middleton tweeting, we back, with an exclamation point and an orange emoji. Somebody named Jake writes, Lane Kiffin question mark, and he wrote four emojis of, it looks like someone talking. Well, you speak emoji better than I do.
AKA, I'm under what, the age of 30?
Yeah, what do you think that
That is like a scream it from the rooftops. I don't know. Like, it's like, yeah, keep going. I like it.
Rainey on Twitter, at Rainey Vol. I think I might get drunk on my couch and refresh Twitter all night. To which I wrote, this is what a Tennessee coaching search does. Florida Dreaming says, I'm not drunk, but I've totally been doing this for about an hour now.
Look, it's so easy to go down that rabbit hole in a normal week. And then you get a Tennessee coaching search coupled with pictures of Bernie Sanders sitting in everywhere in the world. Goodness. And I don't know if I ever need to do anything else.
I mean, maybe the Bernie Sanders emoji, I mean, the Bernie Sanders meme could be the Tennessee football coach. That would be amazing.
Someone needs to, if there's any Photoshop experts out there listening right now, tweet us at 3HL1045. Bernie Sanders sitting on the sidelines in Neyland Stadium or in front of a podium at a press conference. And I will happily retweet it.
The best two that I've seen, one is Najee Harris hurdling the Bernie Sanders sitting at the inauguration meme, which is hysterical. And Derrick Henry stiff arming the Bernie Sanders sitting at the inauguration meme. Those are the two best. But I really like, this is where I am in life. Like, I live for those memes all day. Like, it's just fun.
Have you seen the one of him sitting on top of the Batman building?
I have not.
That's a great one. Well, I will send that to you post haste. It is so good.
All right, cool. Coming up in the next segment, Trash Talk Friday, presented by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. You can trash talk if you're not a Tennessee fan. You're tired of all this. My guess is Tennessee fan is enjoying this conversation all week. And all of the things
you are now, you're enjoying it now. I don't think you were Wednesday when it's, hey, who is left on your football team? Because it'd be easier to tell you who is there than who's not there.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, non-Tennessee fan has had a lot of fun with all of it.
For sure.
And that changed Thursday. To trash talk Friday coming up in the next segment. But we want to get your take, a couple of things. Who do you want to see as coach at Tennessee? And more specifically, because this has been a hot item on social media, Lane Kiffin, yes or no? 615-737-1045. Somebody asking us about Jason Witten. Somebody asking us about Eric Bieniemy. We'll talk about those two things. Might as well include Jerod Mayo, who was on with Jay Martin and Ramon a couple of days ago. And I know some Tennessee fans that were texting me during that interview all fired up about him. We'll talk about that next. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. 3HL on 104.5 The Zone. Sad news today. Home run king Hank Aaron passed away this morning at the age of 86. He was an all-star, for the younger members that don't know, of the 3HL crew. He was an all-star between 1955 and 1975. I mean, think about that.
Unbelievable.
All-time leader in RBI with 2,297, 1,477 extra base hits, 6,856 total bases, 25-time all-star. 755 home runs. This says second all time. I'll say first. I know you definitely agree with me there. 3,771 hits, which is third all time. 2,174 runs, tied for fourth all time. And you have a history of buying a jersey of a player through the course of your life, and then they get traded or they get hit by a bus or whatever happens. They retire. Just weird things happen when you buy jerseys, right? So at one point you decided, I'm not going to buy another Braves player, current player jersey.
Yeah, so the Braves went through that era of, if you were a good player, you were immediately getting traded. This was what, I guess, 2013 to 2017, around when they opened the ballpark. If you were good, it was Jason Hayward was gone.
Yeah.
You know, I traded a lot of pitching. Alex Wood was gone in that time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on of just nobody was ever safe. Matt Kemp, Sid, another guy.
Sid Bream. No.
Hey, I know my way around some Sid Bream. I wasn't alive for it, but I absolutely know who you're talking
that
about.
That was the that he took the, like, literally, that's the slowest time for a guy scoring from second ever. And it was like the most dramatic thing because it took so long for him to get there.
Right.
In the history of postseason baseball.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Anyway.
But so I take my first trip to the artist formerly known as SunTrust Park while I'm in college at UT. Really easy trip. Go from Knoxville to Atlanta. Trip we made on just many, many occasions. Tickets were also like $6 then because the team was bad. They're okay, but they were not great. And so I like go down to the team store. I was like, I haven't gotten a Braves jersey in a while. Like, I'm still in the threshold of like, I can rock a jersey and I'm not like, it's not weird. Not looking forward to the day I get there either. But so I, no, I walk in there and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to get Freddie Freeman, probably a safe bet, but you know what? I'm going to buy a Hank Aaron jersey because Hank Aaron can't be traded by the Atlanta Braves now. And sure enough, that's exactly what I did. I almost wore it to do the show today. This is also an audio medium, so nobody would have ever been able to tell a difference. But, yes, it's one of my favorite jerseys that I have, my number 44, that no matter who gets traded from the Braves, I will always have that at my disposal.
I love it. Couple things going on right now. Shoot Your Shot, presented by Daddy Rack Tennessee Straight Whiskey. Who's going to win this weekend? Who's going to be the next Tennessee coach? Couple of ideas for you there if you want to do that. Also, Trash Talk Friday going on, presented by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. So if you want to trash talk the Tennessee fan base, now is a great opportunity for you to get that done. 615-737-1045. Brent Doherty, Will Bowling with you in for Don Davenport. Get us on Twitter at 3HL1045. My buddy Sean wrote me and said, what about Eric Bieniemy to Tennessee? And my response there was, I'd take him in a second. Number two is he's never going to take that job. I think he wants to be an NFL coach. Clearly, I don't know why he's not an NFL coach. Somebody asked him about it after practice yesterday, and he had a great answer floating around social media where you immediately fall in love with the guy in a minute soundbite. Was a hell of a running back at Colorado back in the late 80s, early 90s. I think he's going to be the Houston Texans head coach personally. But that was my answer there. And also, I'm going to throw this one at you as well, Will Bowling. Justin on Twitter, what about Jason Witten as head coach? And if we're going to talk about Jason Witten, we might as well talk about Jerod Mayo.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So let's start with Bieniemy. I think when you are the offensive coordinator for an offensive guru head coach, you've got to start distancing yourself from just that regime in order to have a chance to be more heavily considered as a head coaching candidate. So I think Eric Bieniemy has got to make a move this offseason somewhere else if he's not hired as a head coach, because at that point I'm saying, all right, look, this is Andy Reid's offense. Obviously, that's holding me back. I've got to do my own thing and run my own offense for somebody to probably take a chance on me to be the head coach. You also got to get away from Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback and how much of that success is because Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback versus you calling plays and scheming up things. So I think Eric Bieniemy is probably more likely to go somewhere else as an NFL offensive coordinator this offseason than he is to go back to college. But going back to college, I think, is a better path for him to be an NFL head coach than sticking where he is until somebody hires him from Kansas City. So I would love it. I don't think there's any chance it happens. And why would he pick Tennessee to be his place if he's going to pick somewhere in college? So I don't think there's a chance it happens, but I would love it.
Right. He also missed the game in 1990 against Tennessee because according to the broadcast back then, I watched it many times because it was an awesome game. And they were eventual national champions that year. But he missed the game against Tennessee because he beat up a fireman who was a little too happy with the water, I think, at his grandma's house. That's according to the broadcast, if I remember it correctly. But, again, that was a long time ago. So if I'm willing to forgive Lane Kiffin when he was 34 at Tennessee, certainly willing to forgive Eric Bieniemy
sure.
In 1990.
Right. Jason Witten, I don't – look, no. In a word, no. Yeah, you need a lot more.
What was Dan Patrick doing the other day? Like, who does he think his source is? Number one, I admire the comedy in the McDonald's bag with cash story, but it wasn't true. The other thing is, and I had as much fun with that story as anybody. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, but it's not true. So never let the truth, Will Bowling, get in the way of a good story or get in the way of comedy. Number two, he said Jason Witten for the Tennessee job. The only person that's telling him that is Jason Witten,
yeah,
I would think.
Or his agent.
There's no way.
No.
Look, I have more coaching experience than Jason Witten. I coached my kids' 9U baseball team. What? I mean, goodness.
His brother, Sean, who's a state championship high school football coach at Elizabethton High School, has more experience coaching high school,
yes,
coaching high school football than he does any level. It doesn't make any sense. Jason Witten's going to be back in a booth somewhere in a couple years. Or on a coaching staff. And if he was an offensive coordinator right now, then sure. You know, maybe we could have that conversation. Maybe the next time around, if you're Jason Witten, I think it's considered.
So just no on Jason Witten. Absolutely. Okay, Jerod Mayo.
Now, that is one where you are not interviewing him for this particular opening. You are creating the goodwill of talking to him. That way, if you hit worst-case scenario.
I love that idea.
And you need another guy in 3 to 5 years, he's your guy then. Absolutely.
I absolutely love that idea because I think that guy's going to be a superstar. And it's funny, before he got the interview with the Eagles, I said on this show, my interaction with Jerod Mayo came on a Tennessee media day before a football season where we go up one day and it's early in the morning and it's picture day for them. But in the morning, they spend time with reporters and all of those things. And
yeah,
you kind of sit down at a table and a bunch, whoever wants to talk with the guys can talk with the guys. Well, I ended up at a table by myself with him. So I interviewed him for like 12 minutes. And then I just started talking to him after, and I told him in the conversation, I said, "Hey man, I haven't said this to anybody ever. And I hope you take this as a compliment, but you remind me a lot of Al Wilson. I mean, just that matter of fact, intelligent, knows everything in detail about the game. A great communicator, great personality." I remember telling him that and he thanked me. He knew. I mean, as a Tennessee linebacker, you know what Al Wilson means. Jerod Mayo on with J Mart and Ramon earlier this week, and J Mart asked him about the UT opening.
So when do you arrive in Knoxville to take over the job?
Hey, whenever they offer it.
There it is.
Mayo also talking about the culture at Tennessee.
But I'm not going to sit here and say Tennessee has a bad culture, but I will say I don't see a culture at all. Like, when you think about Tennessee football, what do you think of? I don't even know. There's no identity to the program because there have been so many head coaches. There have been so many guys in and out that you really don't know what you have there.
Interesting.
He's not wrong.
Great answer. No, great answer.
I think the best case scenario with Mayo is you do what the Titans did with Mike Vrabel and Matt LaFleur. And you bring in him for an interview. You get to know him. You talk about what he would want this program to be. And then you make sure that he gets offered a spot on the defensive staff, preferably as the defensive coordinator, for whoever gets this job. I don't think he would take it. I think that is the best case scenario because, look, if you are in the running for NFL head coaching jobs at his age, then you should absolutely be in the running for college football jobs. It's not the hire I would make. I think there's about 6 or 7 people who would have to tell Tennessee no, yep, in order for it to get to him. But you interview him to create the goodwill for in 5 years, 5 to 8 years. Then when you've got that experience, we want you to come home and run this program.
Love it. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045. Let's go to Leo next up on 3HL. Hey, Leo, what's going on? How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you.
We're good.
Real quick, I try to make it as short as I can. Sometimes I'm been accused of being long in the tooth. But anyway, first off, some props given out. Brent, you and Don, I've been listening to you forever. Radio Gold, man. I really appreciate your work and Will.
Thank you.
Respect. Love your work as well, my friend.
Appreciate it.
As far as with the AD, I think the Danny White hire was fantastic. I've been suffering for close to a decade now, just like with most of our VFL. But I think stepping outside the box is huge with the Colts and everything. And, you know, with Phil Fulmer, I wasn't 100% on board with that because it kind of worried me. I prayed that sometimes with those that come back to the schools have a tendency to try to re-influence the cultures that they were a part of. And I think sometimes that can make take a misturn sometimes. I think coming inside with Danny White and everything, I think that is creating a chance to create a new culture. It's not that there's not good parts of the old culture, but it's time for a new one. And I think the same thing with the head coach. I don't think that it's going to be any name that anyone really knows. I think it's going to be kind of like with the Buffalo and the UCF situation, somebody that he handpicks that sees the potential and makes it happen. I'll leave it at that, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Leo, man. 615-737-1045 at 3HL, 1045 on Twitter. I love the AD hire. I mean, I've repeatedly said it. I know you do, too. It really surprised me that they went after one of the more coveted guys in the country, and he had turned down the opportunity to talk with other schools from time to time and had just signed a 5-year deal with Central Florida. And I know Central Florida was shocked probably that somebody was able to come in and get them because they felt like that they had protected themselves well, paying a group of five AD almost $1.3 million and had a $2.5 million buyout. But Tennessee, uncustomarily, just went in with a big bag of money and said, this is the guy we want. Let's go get him. Here you go.
The highest paid AD in the state of Florida. That's pretty incredible.
That's a crazy thing to think about.
And UCF, let's be fair to Central Florida as well, that while they are a group of five school, that's a massive institution. So they are
not 50,000 in the enrollment last time I.
Right. It is a massive school. So obviously money isn't a stretch for them as maybe a lot of group of five. You think mid-major, you're thinking of Coastal Carolina, a smaller kind of school that is not going to be able to pay money like that. This is a massive school that just happens to play athletics at the group of five level rather than the power five level. It goes against a lot of what Tennessee has done for most of my life, truly. I mean, it's incredible that as soon as the AD opening started, everyone's first thought is, okay, who has ties to Tennessee that's currently an AD? Who's the Tennessee guy that's going to get it? And I like going outside. Based on the dysfunction you've had in the past decade, I don't know if there's a lot of people tied to what's happened in the past 10 years of Tennessee athletics that you think highly enough to give him the keys. And this is a guy that Georgia heavily vetted when they made their last athletic director hire. They ended up going in-house instead. But Danny White was absolutely on the list for the University of Georgia when they last went through this. So the number four AD in the country, like what Dondi Plowman said today, and what we've talked about on this show before as well. I hope it lives up to the hype because hires.
That's why I keep saying seemingly
because hires become home runs over time. That you don't. Right. They're not a home run in the moment. John Curry, to a lot of people, national and local, seemed like a really good hire for Tennessee at the time. Saw how that one worked out for him. So time will tell. It's optimism because it's a deviation from the norm for Tennessee, and that norm has been so depressing for so many Tennessee fans.
615-737-1045 on Twitter, at 3HL1045. Let's go to Chris next up on 3HL. Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas. Choo-choo! Let's get Lane on board.
Oh, Lord.
Will, I know, I feel the pain of what he did, but man, there is nobody on the face of this planet that can say that they wouldn't have left to go to their dream job. He went and did it, failed miserably. He said many a time, you know, that he would like to be back. I got to give the man just a little bit of trust. I'm ready for Lane to come home for Pete's sake, man. His kid is named Knox. Let's do it. I like the Danny White deal, but we got to get Lane home now.
And if not, we're talking about names of kids, by the way, Jamie Chadwell's son, his middle name is Heath after Heath.
Isn't that amazing? We've got one guy with a kid named Knox and one guy with a kid with a middle name of Heath. Look, grew up 30 miles from Knoxville.
You're right that his maybe a little bit of trust
with his wife was to a Tennessee-Alabama game.
Dear God, that's a depressing first date. There's a
maybe not right then, though.
No, that's fair. We grew up in very different eras of Tennessee football.
Yes, we did.
The trust thing makes sense. Yes, sure. You know, forgive the guy, give him the trust. You're right. Absolutely right. Tennessee's not in the position to take that risk right now. They're just not. I wish they were. I wish you could, you know, have a successful coach leave and say, hey, let's give Lane a call. See, Tennessee doesn't have the luxury of taking that risk and failing again.
That's
I'm coming from.
In terms of the chatter that we all hear doing this job, I hear both sides of the story with regard to Lane. I hear that they haven't talked to him, but I've also heard from people in that business, that coaching world, that they think Lane will get the job. So I've heard both things. I've also heard that Lane 100% would go if offered. So,
oh yeah.
We'll see how it all plays out, but it is fun as sports are entertainment for me personally. Here's a little bit of breaking news from GoVols 24/7. Junior college wide receiver Anderson Kobe has committed to Tennessee and will enroll at Tennessee. Kind of an off the radar guy. T. Martin was recruiting him. Here is his offer list. You ready?
Yeah.
Western Kentucky, Louisiana Monroe, Austin Peay, and Tennessee beat out Butch Jones at Arkansas State.
There you go.
Butch Jones, by the way, was on with on 104.5 The Zone today with Blaine and Mickey, and I thought did a really good job. And I know people just roll their eyes when I say that I like the guy, but I will tell you, if you met him, you would like him. But here's the thing that he said that stood out to me. He said that every college coach has these things that they say, right? Which is true. I've been around all of them. They all have that. That's that, inspire you kind of guy talk. Like they're just these quotes and these things that they all have. He said that he was probably a little more too public with them, which is true.
Yes.
Probably should have kept all that in house. But he said the built brick by brick thing actually came in a conversation that he had with John Gruden. Oh, and that John Gruden was talking about building a foundation. And he said, kind of like, you know, just brick by brick. And Butch was like, oh, that sounds good. I'll use that.
Look, I mean, these are things that work when you win. That's the difference, is people don't care about your cliches when you're winning.
No, but he wasn't winning. Nick Saban has them, but it's not like he's had a microphone saying them.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, Butch will tell you he learned a lot at Tennessee. He said today that he loves Tennessee, that they still have a house in Knoxville, and that
bring him home.
He wishes that he could have turned some things around. Yeah, could you imagine?
Oh,
what if they hired Butch Jones?
Out of all the bad coaching,
Derek Dooley's the most entertaining. So if you're going to go with one of the retreads, I'd rather go with, you know, Rommel.
It's funny, the best soundbite ever, first of all. It's so funny, like, the difference between the anger of where Tennessee fans place their anger on these different coaches. Because Tennessee fans get mad at Butch Jones because they think he should have known better. He should have been better. Nobody gets mad at Derek Dooley because it's like, we shouldn't have given you the keys to this in the first place. So it's not your fault you failed. It's our fault for putting you in this position.
That's a great point. But you had the bamboo and you had the hairstyle that he picked up when he was 12. That's never changed. He had the how to use the bath, how to shower properly. Remember that?
So the Where's Rommel press conference is an all time, like, Hall of Fame piece of audio. Like, so that good. Is, oh, it's so good. Great.
When we come back, more of your phone calls. And Tennessee, the Lady Vols in Connecticut battled out yesterday. Connecticut, a hefty favorite over the Lady Vols. Lady Vols had the lead in the fourth quarter. 9-0 run gets Connecticut home, but Lady Vols fought. It was We Back Pat Week, and to celebrate, we'll play a couple of cuts that we have from an interview that Mickey Ryan and I did on Overtime several years ago, obviously on 104.5 The Zone with her, where we asked her, what drives her and what does she want her legacy to be? It's a phenomenal answer. You're going to want to hear it next.
Weekender day was Thursday.
So I get home last night, and the Lady Vols were up by one on UConn in the second half. So I sat down. I got me a little glass of Daddy Rack straight Tennessee whiskey and Tennessee straight whiskey, and sat down and watched the game. And the entire second half, Will, you just thought the run's coming from UConn at some point.
It was coming. It was a good effort.
It was Lady a Vols, good effort.
Yep. And they played a flawless first half and were only up by, what, three? So you're kind of thinking, like, all right, as soon as they make some mistakes, miss some shots, it's going to get tough. It's exactly what happened.
It did. But that kind of put a wrap on We Back Pat Week, which made me immediately think about an interview and a conversation that Mickey Ryan and I had when we did a show called Overtime on 104.5 The Zone, 9 to midnight. And I told Pat, I said, look, we're on 10 to 1 your time. I know that's a stretch. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And so she came on with us. This is probably 2008, somewhere in there. So 12 years ago. And we asked her one question late in her career, obviously. What still drives her?
I just love working with young women and trying to bring out the absolute best. And I love winning. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, winning, I understand what I get paid to do. And, you know, when we win, it's not about the coaching staff. It's about the players. It's about our fans. Our fans are the greatest. They're so engaged. And I would tell both of you that it's just been, for me, it's been a challenge coming off of what happened last year, but it's also been a great, great motivation and incentive for all of us.
We also asked her, I think Mickey asked her, what does she want her legacy to be? And listen to this. It's amazing.
That I really cared about the student athletes, and it was, you know, the most important thing is them getting their degree. I hope they win championships. I love winning. But just so that they leave here as self-sufficient young women that can make it in life. You know, you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I experienced that myself with my own personal life. You never know. And what I want them to take with them is that they have the confidence and the abilities to be able to go out and do it on their own if necessary. And, you know, I think they have those skills, and I think they have that confidence and that competitive drive to be successful.
Wow.
Good stuff for sure. That's the best of the best right there.
She was amazing. There's no doubt. Thanks for hanging out, Will. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
We've got another hour coming up. So we're looking forward to that. Stay tuned. 3HL, more 3HL is next on 104.5 This